Little Bob here. It's America's 250th birthday, so shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. We've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving and those signature Bob-a-pedic seats. So stop into Bob's Discount Furniture or shop online at mybobs.com, where America shops for furniture.
Everyone learns a language for different reasons. Maybe you want to watch K-dramas without subtitles or talk with family members in their native language. Your life is unique. Your language learning should be too. Rosetta Stone, the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years, just launched Rosetta Stone Sapphire, a new app that combines its proven immersion method with the latest innovation in technology to help you learn faster, personalize your lessons, and have more fun along the way. Most language apps teach the same generic topics. Sapphire helps you focus on what you actually want to talk about, whether that's travel, family, work, or your favorite hobbies. If you want to take your language skills to the next level, don't wait to try Rosetta Stone Sapphire. Listeners can get 20% off their Rosetta Stone Sapphire subscription when they sign up today. You'll get unlimited access to all 25 Rosetta Stone languages, plus all the new Sapphire learning tools. Visit rosettastone.com/audio to redeem your 20% off. That's rosettastone.com/audio and start learning a language for real.
I loved the man, but I loathed the life.
The Gottis, we know what they're all about.
Prosecutors say my father was the biggest crime boss in the nation.
An empire of dirty money and power built on
racketeering and murders.
If you really want to know what John Gotti was like, you need to talk to my family. We lived this life. I think I realized early on that my family wasn't like other families. Growing up, my parents tried to hide a lot of things from me, from all of us. I think you grow up scared, anxious all the time.
I used to get up as a young boy, and I used to get excited when I would go and see that my father was alive. When I would hear him snore, I knew he made it home.
We didn't talk back to my father. We didn't ask him, oh, did you kill anyone?
I didn't know his life. I didn't know his lifestyle.
You know they're gonna try and keep you in jail.
Honestly, I was just a kid that wanted to love his father.
The public saw my father right out of Central Casting. He looked the part, acted the part.
He's a rat, he tells lies.
He was the part, the real life godfather. People treat him like he was the second coming of Christ. It was very, very difficult for me to look into these crimes that he was accused of committing. I was angry at everybody for lying to me.
Do I believe now that my father was this big boss? Yes, I do now.
Should I lie and say I don't love him? We loved him.
Give me a kiss.
Say thank you, Grandpa.
And that's really all we should have been held accountable for. We just want to move on.
John Junior Gotti is again on trial. If convicted, he could face life behind bars.
Come on, go home and enjoy your families.
Like my father.
That's his kid.
John was a player in that world.
Guns drawn, New York City police moved in on John Gotti Jr.
But John is not in that courtroom. I believe that it's the last name Gotti. It's definitely Dad.
You could be next. You could be next. Your father, your mother.
We shouldn't have to pay. What he did was what he did.
It does not mean that a child has to answer for a father's sins.
Now it's time to set the record straight. No one knows John Gotti better than his family does. Nobody. And we're ready to talk about it. We're ready to talk about him. Finally.
Their father,
The Godfather, 48 Hours Mystery. They are images the public had never seen before. The private treasured photographs and home videos belonging to the children of mob boss John Gotti, a man who once ran the largest organized crime syndicate in the country.
Hey, Grandpa,
A man convicted of multiple counts of murder.
You don't want to believe it. And when you love that person, it makes it so much more hard.
The mafia chieftain's daughters, Victoria and Angel, and son Peter, talked openly about the life they had always kept secret. And no question was off limits.
How difficult is it to accept that your own father, either directly or indirectly, killed people?
When you choose that life, I think you know what you're signing on for. I think he knew going in what was expected of him, what he would have to do, what it would cost him, and I don't think he cared. I think that all goes along with that life.
And why do you call it the life?
Because mostly it is called the life.
No one ever says, I'm in the mob?
No. It's always the life.
John Gotti's youngest daughter, Victoria, had never spoken about the life publicly. But in her recent book, This Family of Mine, which is coming out in paperback this month, she finally talked about what it was really like growing up Gotti.
Why have you decided now to write a tell-all?
It got personal. I woke up one day and said, enough's enough. There were so many things that had to be addressed as far as rumors, lies, gossip.
Victoria talked to her father about the possibility of the book before he died.
If you ever write that book, he said, you write it as your life. And one thing I ask that you do, don't you ever look to make me out to be an altar boy, because I wasn't.
But when Victoria and her siblings were children, it's clear that John Gotti never wanted them to know that side of him.
He just took everything to another extreme. I remember getting excited about going to see the Christmas tree in Rockefeller Center. He would talk for a half an hour, 45 minutes, about how he just wanted to get them chestnuts. You can't even find roasted chestnuts anymore. But he was so excited, he would talk like a little kid.
He was very funny. People don't know that. He was very funny.
But mixed in with the fun were the lies.
What were you told that your father did for a living?
He told me that he worked with a construction crew. I would ask him where he was going. He was going off to some building, some school, some office building, something.
They believed him, but the truth was that all John Gotti had ever wanted to be was a mobster. He grew up one of 11 children, raised in Brooklyn by an abusive father and an overwhelmed mother. He quickly embraced a life of crime and violence, working for local gangsters and building a rap sheet.
This is where he came from. These men were the men that were respected. This was something he saw early on. And made up his mind that this was what he was going to do.
In 1958, the future Don was in a local bar where he met Victoria DiGiorgio. He was instantly smitten. Their affair produced a daughter, Angel, and in 1962, they were married. Gotti didn't earn much as a low-level mobster, and they struggled.
They were faced with eviction month after month after month.
Later that year, Victoria was born.
Mom went into labor. Unexpectedly, I was early. Mom, she said, they basically said to your father, you can come back and pick up mother and child when you pay the bill. And at this point, they had no monies. He comes back late that night, literally broke into the hospital. He scoops me up. He helped my mother down the stairs. They hobbled out. They had about a good 13 block walk. It was freezing. I mean, they didn't have money for a cab, nothing, not a bus ride. And he walked me home, and he, years and years later, you know, claimed that we bonded, you know, during that walk.
2 years later, the Gotti son John was born, followed by Frankie. Despite the needs of his growing family, Gotti spent most of his time out of the house, getting into trouble. There was often no money.
I do remember them fighting a lot when I was growing up, when I was younger.
She always was fearful of the uncertainty.
In 1968, Victoria was just in grade school when her father was convicted for hijacking cargo from Kennedy Airport and then sent to a federal penitentiary in Pennsylvania for nearly 3 years. As strange as it sounds, his children had no idea their father was in prison, even when they went to visit him.
We used to go to prisons to see him, and my uncle would be in the same prison, and we really did not know that he was in prison.
Well, how did your mother explain to you where he was?
She used to tell us he was working. I remember driving to Pennsylvania, and there would be the big giant wall, and we'd say, why is that wall? Oh, he built that wall. I said, wow, he built that big wall. Uncle Angelo too? Yeah, Uncle Angelo too. We believed it.
When they were home in Brooklyn, Victoria tried to be just like all the other kids, but at the age of 7, it became painfully clear to her that she just wasn't.
I went to school and we had an essay, who our heroes were. Most kids chose their fathers. I chose my father too. And I wrote, my dad is a construction worker and he builds tall buildings. And so I took my place in the front of the room and I started to read this report. And there was a young girl in the back and she yelled out, her father's not, a construction worker. Her father's a jailbird. He's in jail. I remember just standing there in the front of that room and it was like, wow, what is she talking about? But it made sense to me. And I remember the class laughing at me, and I got so upset, so nervous, that I just peed on the floor. And I'll never forget the teacher. She made me, in front of the kids, get on my hands and knees and clean up the mess.
Victoria asked her mother for the truth.
I said to her something like, is Daddy really in jail?
What did she say?
She had said to me, sometimes people do bad things. Sometimes they need to pay for these things that they do. And I remember looking at her and saying, where is my father? Is he in jail or is he working? And she looked at me and she said, he is in jail. Those words, I remember, they just haunted me for days, nights, weeks, months. All I kept hearing was my mother's words, he is in jail.
And the charade was finally over. Learning that her father was in jail was Victoria Gotti's first indication that he lived a secret life.
I would lay awake nights and cry a lot, thinking, is my dad gonna come home? Is he gonna go to jail again? Is he gonna get killed?
She was right to be afraid. Outside their home, John Gotti lived in a violent world. In 1973, he was convicted of attempted murder and went to prison.
By the time you reached your early teens, your father had been incarcerated for nearly half your life.
Yes. I loved the man, but I loathed the life.
When he was released from prison in 1977, John Gotti was officially inducted into the life, becoming a made man in the mafia.
He had earned his way. He had earned his keep, and that really started his rise in that life.
Living that life meant more time spent out of the house, either in his headquarters, called a social club, or out on the town. Gotti's wife, Victoria, didn't like it one bit.
She would do crazy things, my mother, one time she sent his armoire to his club.
To say not come home?
Yeah. Here's your clothes, take them.
When they weren't fighting, the Gottis were enjoying the fruits of his newfound status. They were now living at this house in Howard Beach, Queens. Angel was 18 when she first got an inkling of how others really saw her father.
And I was dating someone, and he was from Ozone Park. And he said to me, your father is really, he's feared. I didn't understand it. And, we didn't see that.
All the Gotti children, even Peter the youngest, would have a moment when they discovered their father had a reputation.
Because I was 12 years old at the time, I remember it. I had a crush, school crush, on a young girl. And so I go and I ask her out. And she said, I would love to go with you, But my dad said, I'm not allowed. Your family are very bad people. And when I had gotten home, I started to cry. My mother told me, Peter, I'm telling you right now, your father loves you more than life. You forget all the nonsense and things they're saying. You remember that man would give his life for you. Okay? And don't ever forget that.
But John Gotti couldn't protect his family from tragedy. In March 1980, 12-year-old Frankie, who Gotti affectionately called Frankie Boy, was struck by a car while riding a minibike.
My sister called me and said, Frankie Boy got hit by a car. So I just have to go and check on Frankie Boy. And then we went there and he was, you know, laying in the street in front of my friend's house.
Frankie died later that night.
Dad walked in a couple hours later, and then he sat down, and I remember he cradled his head in his hands, and he lost it.
The driver of the car was the Gotti's backyard neighbor, John Favara. Victoria claims Favara hit Frankie because he was driving erratically.
He didn't stop. He had gone to the end of the block, and the neighbors were screaming. And he got out of the car, and he was very upset, and he started to scream. What the F was he doing in the street to begin with? Whose effing kid is this?
Police called it an accident, but Victoria was furious with what she says. She heard about Favara's callous behavior, and she spoke to her father about it.
I looked at him and I said, you're supposed to be a tough guy. How can you let somebody kill my brother? And he just looked at me and he said, you know, honey, he said it was an accident. And I said, no, it wasn't. And Dad didn't want to believe that. He looked at me and he said, you're wrong. You're angry. You're wrong. For the first time, I was so angry at my father that if ever I could have him be this man that they said he was, it would have been that moment because...
You wanted revenge.
I wanted revenge. I was so upset.
The tragedy sent their mother into a suicidal depression.
It destroyed us.
You said your mother was practically in her bed for a year.
A year.
That July, John Gotti tried to brighten her spirits by taking the family to Florida. Just 3 days later, John Favara was abducted as he left his job at a furniture store. Witnesses say several men hit him over the head, forced him into a van, and drove off. Favara was never heard from again.
4 months after your brother was killed, John Favara disappeared.
Right.
Is your father responsible?
No.
How can you be so sure? Did you ask him?
I'm positive he wasn't responsible.
I just can't imagine that this incident, this horrible, tragic accident...
Devastated
your family, and your father did not want to exact revenge. You did, and you were a teenager. Your mother was attempted suicide 3 times.
I'm with you. I couldn't understand why either, and it angered me.
Did it ever enter your mind that perhaps your father was behind that disappearance? Did you ever think...
Sometimes. I'm being honest. Yeah. Sometimes.
Victoria believes her father's mob associates took it upon themselves to exact revenge.
Do I believe that someone in my father's circle did this? I do. Somebody did it. And they thought they'd be celebrated.
Favara's body has never been found, and police never made an arrest in the case. In the years after Frankie's death, the Gottis struggled to get back to a normal life. Victoria got married.
I think I was just a kid in a hurry to get out of my dad's house quickly.
You had 1,500 guests?
Yes.
1,500?
Yeah.
That's a lot of thank you notes.
A lot of people to greet. I didn't know half of the people at my wedding. More than half. I didn't know them. They weren't there for me. They were there for Dad. And I remember thinking then, something's up. Something's up.
Little did Victoria know, but the groundwork for her father's ascension to boss of bosses was being laid. She danced that night not just with her father, but with the future godfather.
That's what he wanted for himself. He was going to become a leader. He wasn't going to be a follower. He was going to rise to the top. He was going to make it.
On December 16th, 1985, at 5:25 p.m., in a hail of bullets, his fortunes and the fortunes of his unsuspecting family changed forever.
Big Paul Castellano, reputed godfather of the Gambino family, was on his way to a Manhattan steakhouse.
It was widely reported that Gotti orchestrated one of the most famous mob murders in New York City history, the hit on his boss, Paul Castellano, and Gambino number two man, Thomas Bellotti.
After Castellano's murder, Gotti showed up at one of the most important mafia hangouts in New York, and people were kissing his hand, and people were going over and fawning over him.
Selwyn Robb has been a reporter covering the mob for more than 40 years and is a CBS News consultant. Within days of the murder, says Robb, it was no secret John Gotti was the new godfather. But back in Howard Beach, Queens, the family had no idea what was going on.
And my mother said, "You're not going to believe this," and she was laughing. And she said, "They have your father now as the boss." And I said, "The boss?" And she said, "The boss of the Gambino crime family." And we all started laughing. We really thought it was funny.
When did you learn, Peter, that your father ran the Gambino crime family?
In 1985, I had gone to school one morning.
Peter was in the fifth grade.
And we're sitting in class and current events came around. And there are my friends. Kids I grew up with, they would parade up to the class, in front of the class, and talk about my dad as if I wasn't even sitting in the room.
The kids were all talking about this newspaper story.
John Gotti's the new boss of the Gambino. That's what the article said. Needless to say, I went on home and I cut that article out of the newspaper without my mother knowing, without my dad knowing, without anybody knowing. And I still, to this very day, have that article.
Even before John Gotti became the boss of the Gambino crime family, he had brought his oldest son, John Jr., into the family business. It was a family secret not even his mother knew about.
John saw, you know, dad driving the fancy car, you know, and having these guys look up to him like he was God.
And on Christmas Eve, 1988, in a secret ceremony, John Jr. became a made man.
I have to wonder if John saw this as a way to just get our father's approval or to somehow make him proud.
The family business was doing pretty well. According to investigators, during the 80s, the Gambino crime family grossed about $500 million a year, and Gotti himself was getting a pretty big cut. The family says they didn't see it.
He didn't move. He didn't go out and buy a huge house somewhere. I'm not saying he didn't have it, but he didn't spend it.
Investigators say he made between $10 to $12 million a year in cash.
Yeah, and investigators also say that my family, he left us $200 million buried somewhere in the backyard. I'm still trying to find that money.
But one look at John Gotti told another story.
He was now wearing custom-made silk suits, monogrammed socks, only cashmere coats. He was now going to the chic restaurants in New York, nightclubs.
He loved to gamble. His way of bonding with me was to watch a ball game with me. Here I was, 78 years old. He's asking my opinion on who I liked to win of college football game.
Did you help him win?
Obviously not, because he didn't win much.
John Gotti made sure his family life was always separate from his work life.
It sounds odd to people. They don't understand it, but we were not like the Sopranos. We didn't sit at the dinner table and you know, curse or say things, you know, what do you do? Did you kill this one? We didn't do that. We didn't ask him those questions.
But if the family didn't want to ask him any questions, the government certainly did. In the first 5 years of his reign, John Gotti was put on trial three times. For assault, for racketeering, and for ordering the shooting of a union boss.
John Gotti set this up.
Three trials.
You find him not guilty.
Gotti beat the rap each time. Law enforcement says he bribed a juror, intimidated a witness, and had a crooked cop on the inside. Gotti's celebrity grew with each victory.
Gorgeous, the handsome man! John Gotti!
John Gotti, John Gotti, this John Gotti, that John Gotti. They just couldn't seem to get enough of him.
John Gotti became a celebrity, attracting celebrity. In an Italian restaurant in Little Italy, the Gambino godfather met the Hollywood godfather.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
And invited him over to his social club across the street.
Brando was telling jokes all night and doing magic tricks. Dad was doing what he does best, telling his stories, and they just enjoyed each other's company.
John Gotti's growing fame was a double-edged sword. He had become the most notorious mobster since Al Capone and put himself squarely in the sights of the FBI.
This is going to be really bad. I was always terrified.
John Gotti is still very much a part of the universe of organized
crime.
John
Gotti has achieved folk hero status.
John Gotti will undoubtedly continue to be a man under close scrutiny by police and federal prosecutors.
I think he saw there was no happy ending. I think he knew that one day he was either going to spend the rest of his life in jail or he was going to end up dead.
John Gotti knew the FBI was never going to let up. He suspected they had bugged his headquarters in Little Italy, the Ravenite Social Club.
So he would get up and walk outside. He didn't want to sit in a place that he thought maybe someone was listening.
Someone was listening, though.
Obviously.
You tell this punk, I'll meet John Gotti, you sever your head off.
The FBI had placed bugs everywhere, in the club, in the apartment Gotti occasionally used upstairs, and even on the street. They gathered hundreds of hours of recordings of mob business. Those tapes led to Gotti's arrest in December of 1990. He faced a litany of charges, including the murder of Paul Castellano.
There's no question the government had a strong case. It was his own words. He talks about five murders, about Castellano, Bellotti. He talks about three other people and the reasons why they were killed.
But the government didn't just have tapes, they had a star witness, Gotti's right-hand man, his underboss in the Gambino crime family, Sammy the Bull Gravano. Sammy Gravano, a self-confessed mafia hitman who admitted to taking part in 19 murders, turned on his former boss and made a deal with the government. He took the stand and told the court that John Gotti planned and organized the hit on Paul Castellano, and that he and John Gotti were actually there when it went down.
Sammy told a lot of lies.
Did your father orchestrate the assassination of Paul Castellano?
Did he orchestrate it?
Yeah.
Absolutely not. No one man is that powerful in this organization. Not one man.
In her book, Victoria claims the assassination was a plan agreed upon by mafia bosses.
I'm not arguing that he had no part in it, and I'm not arguing and saying that he wasn't the boss after that. He was. But nobody can stand there and tell me that he did it alone.
But that's not what the jury found. On April 2nd, 1992, John Gotti was found guilty on all counts. and he was the only person ever tried and convicted for the murder of Paul Castellano. In 1992, as a local reporter in New York, I talked to Victoria just hours after her father was convicted.
My father is the last of the Mohicans. They don't make men like him anymore, and they never will.
I knew that I'd lost my father. I knew that that was it. It was as if somebody had told me my father had died. And that's how I felt that day.
John Gotti was sent to Marion Federal Prison in Southern Illinois for life.
The man was never coming home. I believed the day would never come where I would be able to hug my father again. You know, I had trained myself to believe that that's it. I'm going to visit my father behind glass for the rest of my life.
Peter Gotti was 18 years old when his father was put in solitary confinement.
My dad had 6,000 meals alone. He never ate with another, he ate meals in his cell. And again, I'm not justifying anything. The saying is, he paid the piper.
I'm curious to know why you did not follow in your father's footsteps. You're the only Gotti man to not do so.
Did it ever dawn on you that my dad shielded me from it? And my brother enforced it even more. He did everything he can. He did everything he can to prevent me. Everything he can. He tried to screen every person I was socializing with.
At the same time he was protecting Peter, John Jr. was rising in the ranks of the Gambino crime family, becoming the acting boss when his father went to prison.
You did not know your own brother was in the mafia?
No, I did not. No.
When did you learn that your brother was in the mafia?
When he got arrested.
John Jr. was arrested in 1998 for extortion, loan sharking, and gambling. His mother was caught completely by surprise. For 10 years, her oldest son had been a mobster and then acting boss of the Gambino crime family, and she never knew it.
You know, John is her life, and she was not standing for it. She had such a distaste for the fact that Dad was involved and now her son.
Mrs. Gotti believed her husband had lied to her, betrayed her trust, and put John Jr. in grave danger.
She wasn't speaking to my father when he was in prison for a while, and it caused a lot of problems for all of us.
John Jr. was in grave danger. He was facing 20 years in prison. He was thinking of making a deal.
You understood my feelings.
In this prison tape, recorded in February of 1999, obtained by 48 hours, John Jr. is asking his father's permission to take a plea. After some discussion, the godfather reluctantly consented. But John Jr. wanted more from his father. According to Victoria, he also asked for permission to quit the mob. And Victoria says her mother decided to get involved.
Mom goes to see Dad, and Mom threatens Dad. And she says, either you release him, or I'll never speak to you again. I won't be here anymore. You'll never see me in your life again.
When John Jr. went to prison, Victoria claims he left the mafia with his father's permission. Prosecutors don't believe it. But her brother wasn't the only one, Victoria says, had secretly joined the mob.
Your husband was a Gambino member.
Certainly was.
It was yet another secret, she says, her father had kept from her.
Were you angry with your father?
Yeah. Yeah, I was angry at my ex-husband. I was angry at my father. I was angry at everybody. This isn't what I wanted for my life. This isn't what I wanted for my kids.
But her anger would fade with time as her father grew gravely ill.
He just looked at me and said, I'm never going to be around forever. I said to him, yeah, I know, Dad, you know, whatever. But then he looked at me again and he said, I think it's time.
Parles-tu français?
Hablas español?
Parle italiano.
If you've used Babbel, you would.
Babbel's conversation-based technique teaches you useful words and phrases to get you speaking quickly about the things you actually talk about in the real world. With lessons handcrafted by over 200 language experts and voiced by real native speakers, Babbel is like having a private tutor in your pocket. Start speaking with Babbel today. Get up to 55% off your Babbel subscription right now at babbel.com/listen. Spelled babbel.com/listen. Rules and restrictions may apply.
When the funeral began, the mourners were all up and down the streets, holding signs, crying, kids, old men, young women, young men, everywhere. The funeral cars, the flower cars, the ceremony, the cemetery.
Ten years into his life sentence, John Joseph Gotti, the godfather of the Gambino crime family, father of five, and grandfather of 15, died of cancer. The last days of his life were spent in a prison hospital with his son Peter at his side.
He never admitted or denied anything. That's what was funny about his personality. You know, his was a, hey, you mind your business type of personality. Let me pay with God. And he did. He did, in the end, he did.
To his family, John Gotti was a fallen hero. To the public, he was the last Don. But for the mob, he was a disaster. At the end of his reign, the Gambino crime family was decimated. More than half of the leadership was either dead or behind bars.
I think about the devastation that this life has had on your family, on the Gotti men.
Yes.
Your father, your brother, three uncles are all incarcerated.
Yep. And a husband.
And the life continued to take its toll on the Gotti family. The federal government put John Gotti Jr. on trial four times in less than 5 years without getting a conviction. The last time, in December 2009, he was accused of participating in or authorizing three murders. Victoria said the government's case was about the past, not the present.
It is my father, always, all over again, day in, day out. It's about John Gotti. That's what it's about.
You really don't want me to answer that.
The Gotti family claimed the government was persecuting John Jr. and that he quit the mob years ago. The government said John Jr. is a killer and that he did not quit.
They don't want to believe. John's attitude is, I paid for what I did in that life. I gave them my pounds of flesh.
Hey, John, how's it feel to be free?
In the end, the government could not convince a jury. It was deadlocked. And John Gotti Jr., no longer facing any charges, was free to go home to his family.
John, what are you doing tonight?
Kiss my kids. Hi, Bob, how you feeling?
There was a time when he thought the life was all glamour, but not anymore.
I try to explain to my sons, I say, you have to understand that price that comes with that. I mean, most people don't know this, that my father died choking on his own vomit and blood, handcuffed to a bed in solitary confinement. I have to explain that to my sons. You know, this is the end result.
Still, John Jr. hopes the next generation of Gottis takes after their grandfather in some ways.
He's a good man to emulate, just not the lifestyle. Mm. If you could take all the positive characteristics of my father, and you could emulate those, his charismatic charm, his intelligence, his mannerisms, why not? Sure.
Happy Mother's Day.
Like John Jr., Victoria is determined her children will not follow their father and grandfather into the mafia.
If they want to really, utterly break my heart, they can do that. They know that. But they know better, believe me.
Give me one, Grandpa.
John Gotti's grandchildren have decided, it seems, that they don't want to remember the godfather, just their grandfather.
I love my grandfather to death. He taught me everything I need to know.
John, Victoria's middle child, named after his grandfather, made him a promise just before he died.
So law school may be in your future.
Maybe. You know what? I promised my grandfather a long time ago that I would do it. You know, even when I wrote a personal letter to him on his funeral, I put it in his pocket that I would do it for him.
But you don't see Pop gone for 8-9 years. Grandpa dying in jail. Grandma's tears.
Carmine, Victoria's oldest son, is an aspiring musician who wrote this song about his family.
Grass looks greener on the other side. Always looks greener on the other side. No matter how.
So now you're working on realizing your dreams.
Yes. I mean, I've been recording now in the studio for the past 2.5, almost 3 years. I mean, it's been a lot of work, 5 days a week throughout the year. Everything's coming together.
It's bad enough they love to throw away the key on anyone in my fam like they did to JG.
John Gotti, JG, John Gotti, The Mob Life, The Death of a Brother, The Hit on Paul Castellano, The Disappearance of a Neighbor, The Trials, Prison, Brothers and Husbands in Jail. At the end, Peter Gotti says, his father was refusing medical care.
And I believe in my heart that it went around in full circle, because I believe in the end that he was punishing himself for the things he may have done. And I feel for anyone, if there was pain caused by him or not, I feel regret and sadness for that.
For Victoria, the circle closed at her father's funeral.
I remember sitting there, I was the last to get up. And I remember getting so angry and so angry and so angry. And just saying to him, what was this all for? What did you do? Look at you. Look at the life that you lived. Look at us. You loved us most in the world. Look at us. What was this all for? And I walked out of there so angry. And I'm still angry. I don't understand it, and I guess I never will.
Thank you.